College Station City Council, Place 4. Our first candidate is Eleanor Vasali. Eleanor Vasali is a realtor and business manager working for Vasali Family Limited Partnership. She has lived in College Station for 5 years. Eleanor Vasali received her Bachelor of Science degree from Texas A&M University and her Doctor of Jurisprudence degree from South Texas College of Law. Our second candidate is Joe Guerra Jr. Joe Guerra is a transportation planning project manager at AIA Engineers. He and his family reside in College Station and have for 10 years. Joe Guerra received his Associates in Applied Science and Architectural Technology from Del Mar College in Corpus Christi, his Bachelor's degree in Political Science and Public Policy from Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and his Master's in Public Administration from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Mr. Guerra is married to Angela, and they have 3 children, Isaac, Olivia, and Victoria. Thank you, Scott.
We do want to remind you, when it comes to the school board and the city council races, those are down ticket races. So if you punch a straight ticket, be it Republican or Democrat, you have not voted in these races. Likewise, in College Station, there are also 5 propositions. So remember, go all the way to the bottom of the ballot, if you will, when you consider these races. Let's begin with opening statements. First, Eleanor Vasali.
Good evening. Thank you to the Chamber for having us this evening. My name is Eleanor Vasali, and I'm running for College Station City Council Place 4. College Station is a growing and diverse community, and I believe it would be best served by a council member who has an array of experience and who can tackle the variety of issues that it faces. Professionally, I have knowledge and experience in both the business world and government employment. Personally, community service has been an important facet of my life, from the various boards that I serve on to the community programs that I've participated in. Each has given me insight to every aspect of our community. That, along with my service on the Planning and Zoning Commission for the past 2 years, is why I believe that I am the candidate who could best represent all of our citizens. Thank you.
Now the opening comments of Joe Guerra.
Good evening. My name is Joe Guerra. I'm running for city council for the city of College Station. I'm a fourth generation Texan, born and raised in Corpus Christi, Texas. I've been married to my wife for 21 years. We have 2 daughters and I have 1 stepson. I'm a transportation planner by trade. I have almost 30 years of transportation planning, engineering, and design experience. 10 with TxDOT, 5 with the city of College Station, and the rest in the private sector working for transportation engineering consultants. I'm a certified city planner through the American Institute of Certified Planners. I'm also a certified professional transportation planner through the Institute of Transportation Engineers. My platform is for smart, responsible growth, for neighborhood integrity, and for fiscal responsibility. Thank you.
Well, all right, let's get started right there. With new faces come new ideas. Let's expand a little bit on your ideas, Mr. Guerra.
Could you repeat the question?
With new faces come new ideas. You have some new ideas that you'd like to bring to City Council.
Sure. First of all, in 2009, we completed our 2009 comprehensive plan. And so it's been 10 years since we've last worked on our comprehensive plan. So this year, we're going to work on our comprehensive plan. Part of the comprehensive plan is master plans, such as your water, wastewater treatment, water, wastewater master plan, and your Thurfer plan. And it sets the stage on how the city's going to grow. It sets the stage on what type of growth and what type of land uses we're going to have. It also sets the stage on the densities that we're going to propose. And densities are very important because the more dense, the more traffic you have. The more dense, the more water, wastewater you use. And so we can actually set those densities and then transfer them over to our zoning ordinances to codify them.
Thank you very much. Ms. Vasali, same question.
What I would like to bring to City Council, I would hope, is not a new idea, but would continue to push for efficient governance. We have, for example, over 200 acres of land in the Spring Creek area that we have had for over a dozen of years. And so I would like to see a continued focus by our economic development departments to move that land back onto the tax rolls. And something that we could see developed there could possibly use would be the concept of a TERS. Right now, we do have one TERS in the Dartmouth area, but I think a TERS would be worth considering for the Spring Creek area as well.
I'll stay with you. Some people say that growth should pay for itself with the recent addition of water and wastewater impact fees, a roadway impact fee. How do you encourage, plus tax increases, how do you encourage development in College Station without pushing those would-be companies to the county or Bryan because of the developing cost in College Station?
That's a very good question. The market is difficult enough as it is, and I think we run into issues when we negatively affect that market with the addition of impact fees. We have some of our impact fees are newly instituted, so we'll see how many we can actually collect. But I think to counter that, we need to provide applicants or businesses with a streamlined process. And when I mean streamlined, I mean a process of compromise where they feel that they can identify locations and visualize their product within a reasonable amount of time. And we also need to, in general, provide a market where they feel that their employees can live and stay. And that includes affordable housing, which unfortunately is also affected by our impact fees.
Yeah, let me just follow up real quickly. Would you be in favor of giving them some sort of abatement on impact fees if they're large enough?
I don't know if I would be in favor of abatement, but I think we need to continue to monitor the progress and the effect and the efficiency of the impact fees, because another thing that we need to consider is that a lot of these fees are hidden, quote unquote, and are passed on to the taxpayer. And unlike the taxes, cannot be deducted on your federal revenue. So in fact, we are taxing again our citizens through these fees.
Certainly. Same question for you, Joe Guerra. Some people say that growth should pay for itself with a recent addition of water and wastewater impact fees and roadway impact fees. How can you encourage development in College Station without pushing it out into the county or to Bryan?
First of all, I would not give out tax abatements. We've grown so fast. The city has to provide services. You can't tax your citizens year after year after year to provide those services, such as water, wastewater, and transportation. And so roadway impact fees and water, wastewater impact fees kind of levels the playing field. Some of the reasons that development won't go to Bryan is because we have a great school system. So they want to be in the city of College Station because of our school system. One of the reasons they won't go to the counties, the county subdivision regulations prohibit subdividing land smaller than an acre. And so it's not profitable to build a subdivision in the county.
All right, I'll stay with you. Transportation is a concern in the city. We haven't had to worry about that since, what, 5:30 last tonight? And every night we get on the road. So with that, there are numerous roads that need to be built or expanded in places where that congestion needs to be reduced. In the future, Interstate 14, the Aggie Highway, will be built. Possibility of high-speed rail. With all that, what is your vision of addressing transportation issues within the city of College Station, Joe Guerra?
I think the adoption of the RMA was a good step. I have my own ideas. My job lets me travel throughout the state, and so I can see what other municipalities and counties are doing. I like what Williamson County and Hayes County are doing. What they've done is they've raised their match on TxDOT projects. Normally, your match is either 10% for a state-funded project or 20% for a federal project. What Williamson County and Hayes County have done, if they've gone beyond 50%, and then they've negotiated with TxDOT to see how much TxDOT pays them back. However, they tax their citizens in order to pay off bonds to do that. I would rather use TIFs and TERFs to pay off any bonds that we would use to up our match with TxDOT.
Ms. Asali, same question for you.
I think this question demonstrates the need to work with our regional partners and why we need to have strong relationships with not only Bryan, but also the county and the university as they impact our traffic as well. It is a College Station issue, but the cars do not stop at the city line. The RMA is a good example of that collaborative process, and I look forward to seeing it continue and progress so that we can hopefully tackle some projects. I also think we need to be a little bit forward-looking. I know the issue of mass transit is often brought up. There are cities who are now testing with companies that are using the ride-sharing concept in mass transit, and I think that's more the idea of the future, and I would like to see us go in that direction as well.
All right, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to expand a little bit more on ride-share or mass transit.
So from what I've seen, it is off of the same concept as Uber or Lyft, but would be more of not just a car size, but a van size type of transportation where the user would have an app, and through the app, the company develops routes, and people can then, through the app, pick their routes or find locations where they can pick up that ride sharing.
This would be a company that the city would contract with rather than the city itself?
Not necessarily contract with, but I think that we can look into those options and attract that type of business, just like we're always trying to attract businesses to the city.
Sure. Joe Guerra, I'll give you 30 seconds to speak to the idea of mass transit or ride sharing.
Any system that takes the single occupant person out of their vehicles is a good system. The more we advocate for walking, biking, and utilizing transit, the better we off. Texas A&M Transit Service is considered a mass transit operation based on the ridership they have. So they're doing a good job. The more people we get out of their vehicles, the better.
Stay with you. The City Council passed a 5% homestead exemption, then included a tax increase to offset it to make it revenue neutral. Your feelings on the exemption itself, the amount of it, and the tax increase that went with it?
I appreciate the council trying to give some relief to the average homeowner, and so I agree with the homestead exemption.
The amount?
Yes.
You okay?
For now, yes.
Okay.
For now. But we have taxed our businesses 5 of the last 6 years, our homeowners for the last 5 years. So I think it's time to take a break, try to find other revenue sources, and have increasing property tax as a last resort.
All right. You got 23 seconds left. Other revenue sources. I'm fascinated.
Your TIFs. Tax increment financing districts, your TERFs, tax reinvestment zones, your TRIZ, this is a TxDOT transportation reinvestment zone option. That's what Williamson County and Hays County are doing.
But all three of those, benefit just those specific areas, right? Not the city
yes.
as a whole.
Yes.
So it's not always good for all the citizens, right? Okay. Let me come back over to you, Ms. Vasali. Gosh, where were we? What were we talking about?
The 5% exemption.
There you go. Okay. There aren't any issues in this race, so, I mean, I got nothing to talk about, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. I agree or appreciate the 5% exemption. If I understand correctly, having attended the council meetings, it is the first step in a larger plan to maybe grow that exemption to maybe 10 or 15. I believe it's a tool that other cities have used as well, and I'm in favor of College Station using that tool and giving some relief to our homeowners and homestead property owners. I am not in favor of the increase that was done to fill that gap, and I would hope that next time I foresee that if the city is continuing on that plan and continues to the 10%, that they would refrain from doing that increase once again.
5 was okay, but are you ready to go to 10 as far as you're concerned?
5 is okay, and I'm willing to continue with that plan and consider the 10%.
Okay, I'll stay with you. Within the last 2 weeks, Bryan has approved its 48th neighborhood conservation district. College Station is far behind that number. What words of assurance can you offer your residents tonight that it is a priority to you and that we can see some progress?
Well, the words of assurance that I can offer is that we are actually in the middle of reviewing that overlay regulation and providing the citizens with additional tools and options for that overlay. One that is in consideration is, I believe, the equivalent of Bryan's Conservation District, which is, in fact, the no more than two unrelated, which College Station currently does not have in its regulation. So it's coming. It's coming soon. And I think the best thing that we can offer the citizens is a legally sound ordinance that can be used as a tool for the neighborhoods to have that protection that they desire.
Same question for you, Mr. Guerra.
When I was on staff with the City of College Station, I helped develop two neighborhood plans, the Southside Neighborhood Plan and the Eastgate Neighborhood Plan. Both of them had implementation items for an overlay where the neighborhoods would come forward, engage staff to draw up a conservation overlay. We've yet to see one in Southside, and we've yet to see one in Eastgate. To me, the neighborhood plans, both Southside and Eastgate, was a contract between the city and the neighborhoods, and I would hold them responsible to would hold the city responsible for making that happen.
All right, Mr. Garrett, you have a question for Ms. Vasali.
Back to neighborhood integrity. Did some research, and this past year, whenever a neighborhood issue came up, Ms. Vasali voted 17 times out of 19 against the neighborhood issue. And so my question to her is, can you talk to that?
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. Being on the Planning and Zoning Commission has been quite a difficult task for all the commissioners. It's an in-depth process, and it's often seen as for and against, when in fact, as commissioners, our charge is to examine each application in line with the city's comprehensive plan. And so what has been difficult has been my realization that oftentimes the citizens are not informed about that plan, which has already been in the works for the past 10 years, and therefore seem to believe that we make decisions on a whim, when in fact the staff reports and the evaluations that we provide are based on the city's planning process and the feedback that was given for that vision of College Station that is already in the books.
Ms. Vasali, a question for Mr. Guerra.
No, I do not have any at this time.
Well, I don't have a delicate way to say this, but it just seems that the College Station City Council gets caught up in the minutiae of things a lot. So, Mr. Guerra, I want to discuss, well, there are two things. Let's talk about, Bryan has had 48 neighborhood conservation districts already put together as College Station struggles. The police department building has taken far longer than it should have because everybody wanted to have every little detail. What will you do to streamline the governing process of the City Council?
With regards to the police station, I think there were a change in council when the original layouts and set of plans came up. And so the new council wanted some input into that new police station, and I can understand that. And so with regards to streamlining, I guess the only thing I can say with regard that to that process was we need to get our council members to move faster because they want to be part of that process. With regards to conservation overlays, we have a lot of investment property owners who get up before council and P&Z to oppose conservation overlays. And so there doesn't seem to be a way to compromise. And so part of streamlining that process is going to have to be compromise.
Okay. Same question for you, Ms. Vasali.
It is difficult. I wasn't on council 30, 20, or even 10 years ago. So when we are talking about these issues, especially the overlay issue or the police station.
The police station is
exactly
a two-year question.
The
That's not
even long. The police station,
ago.
Or even the new city hall, sure. Is not that old. I think maybe answering one of your questions about the homestead exemption, I think also as a new council member, you need to take into consideration the vision that has already been set. And also, though you bring in your new ideas and maybe your priorities that you would like to see, you need to also consider what has already been done and help to keep moving that forward. And I think that's an important aspect to our service as well, so that we don't waste the taxpayers' time or their money.
Ms. Vasali, I'll stay with you. We are two cities, but we are one community.
Yes.
How do you work together with Brian?
Hopefully, I'd like to say that I work well with Brian. I've developed quite a few relationships throughout the community, mainly through my community service, which has really been a pleasure these past years, and also through the community programs that I've gotten involved in, each stemming from a desire to understand how our different departments work. And so it's not just Brian, it's our county commissioners, and as I've already mentioned, it's Texas A&M University that is also a big partner in town, and that's why I think we need to foster those relationships, and we need to represent our city, which sometimes means defending our interests for the city of College Station, but we need to have a seat at the table and be somebody that our partners know they can dialogue with and that they can work with, and I believe that I represent that.
Mr. Guerra, same question. Two cities, one community. How do you work with the city of Bryan?
When I was on staff, I was the city's representative on the Technical Advisory Committee for the Metropolitan Planning Organization. And the people that sat on that TAC committee represented TxDOT, Texas A&M, Bryan, and the county. And so we needed to work together, specifically on transportation issues, on programming and prioritizing projects that would spend federal and state funds. So I did it as a staff member. And as I recall, we also had joint meetings with the Bryan Planning and Zoning Commission. I believe they were quarterly. So both P&Z commissioners were there and both staffs from both cities were there, mainly to see how both cities were growing, what were the issues, and how we could work together on those issues.
Okay, let me throw 30 seconds out here. I'll just come back to you. Should the Planning and Zoning Commissions of the two cities meet, and how often?
I think quarterly is good enough. As I recall, if you met too soon, there weren't that many issues that would have come up for you to discuss. And so quarterly, I think, is a good average time. You work through the issues that came up in the previous meeting, and then some issues would trickle up, and you could work on those in the next meeting.
Same question for you, Ms. Vasali. Should the Planning and Zoning Commissions of these two cities meet, and how often?
I think it would be wonderful if they met. How often? Ideally, quarterly or at least twice a year. However, we've already been trying to coordinate that. So coordinating between the two cities, all the commissioners and their staff, is often, unfortunately, an issue.
Let me stop you. How can that be different? How can that be so difficult to do?
Well, because each commissioner has their own job. We are serving the community and actually have to set our time aside to come and serve on the commission. So between our own personal schedules and then the schedules of staff as well, you have seven and seven on both sides, then plus the staffers, that's what renders it difficult sometimes. But what I was going to add to that is that we are soon having a presentation, College Station is, from Brian's staff regarding feedback on their overlays. So we do have communication and requests for information between the two cities.
I think it'd look good if the two planning and zoning commissions would get together. That's for sure. Let's do closing comments. First, you, Mr. Guerra.
First of all, I wanted to thank the Chamber of Commerce for putting this event and inviting me to speak. Second, I want to iterate my platform. I'm for smart, responsible growth, for neighborhood integrity, and for fiscal responsibility. Two of the most important investment decisions a family will ever make is, one, to raise kids, or to have kids and raise kids. Two, to purchase a home and put a roof over their heads. So those are the two most important investment decisions a family will ever make. And so we need to protect those investments. We need to protect our neighborhoods so that our families can can thrive in these neighborhoods, they need to be safe and they need to be peaceful. And so if that resonates with you, I ask you, join me, join my campaign, vote for Joe Guerra so we could keep College Station a great place to live and a great place to raise a family. Thank you.
Now the closing comments of Eleanor Vasali.
College Station is at a critical time in our history, and that means with the growth that we're having, we must work to ensure our high quality of life, along with ensuring a strong local economy. That balance requires someone with a varied experience to make the difficult decisions that ensures that all of our core services needs are met, and that includes police, fire, infrastructure, transportation. As a former teacher, attorney, and current business manager, I believe that I bring that experience to the council. I also bring experience with our community partners, which, as we've already discussed, is important in the future planning of our region and our city. And so for those reasons, I ask for your vote this November. Vote Eleanor Vasali for College Station City Council Place 4.
These are your candidates for College Station City Council Place 4. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.